News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
TikTok has become an entry point for self-diagnosis of ADHD, but a lack of regulation and the blurring of boundaries has experts worried. That's according to an article in The Telegraph. And Dr. Susan Young, clinical psychologist, is one of those concerned experts, and she joins us this morning. Good morning to you, Susan. First of all, talk to me a little bit. I'm not a huge user of TikTok, but TikTok, ADHD as a hashtag on TikTok is now enormous.
It is indeed, isn't it? And good morning, and thank you for having me on your programme. It's got thousands, if not millions, of followers, I think, that some people have. So, yes, it's certainly taking off.
And people are doing questionnaires, and people are engaging with experts, Moria, as we would say in Ireland, experts in inverted commas, who are literally offering sort of an ability to self-diagnose. Isn't that part of the issue?
I think there's lots of issues actually with this, but I yes, it is. One of the big problems is that it's also providing a platform for the assessment and treatment of services by people who are unqualified to provide those services. I think there's nothing wrong with people being directed to complete questionnaires online to give them an idea, provided they recognise a questionnaire is just a questionnaire. It doesn't differentiate between ADHD or anxiety or a trauma-related condition, for example. And it's just a marker that you may have ADHD, and that if you do get that marker in that result, then you need to go to a properly qualified person who can assess it,
okay,
and diagnose it. Yeah.
So is it, I suppose, it's a funny question, is it harmless for people to self-diagnose, or are there concerns from self-diagnosis?
Well, I think we're moving to an area where people are self-diagnosing, but you can't access treatments for ADHD, not proper ones, without, you can't access treatment with medication, for example, for ADHD without a proper diagnosis. And you would be unlikely to be able to access reasonable adjustments at college, at university,
These diagnoses, they're not worth anything in terms of engaging with institutions. So if you want to go to an education institution like a university or a school and say, look, I have ADHD, I need special provisions made for me, these self-diagnoses online, they're useless in that sense.
Yes, and actually even worse than that, I have known some people go and receive assessments in the private sector, and they've paid an awful lot of money for them. And then the reports are not accepted by the National Health Service or by educational or occupational institutions.
Okay. In terms of, and I know there's a lot of this online as well, ADHD coaches with potentially no qualifications. What do you make of that phenomenon? People who are sort of setting themselves up as sort of a guide to ADHD, or a guide through perhaps ADHD?
I think it's extremely risky, actually, and it's very dangerous in some cases, because one of the problems is that coaching is an unregulated healthcare activity, or, you know, activity. It's not regulated. So I'm a psychologist. I'm regulated by the Health and Care Professions Council, and my title is protected. But anyone can set themselves up and call themselves a coach. It's not a regulated title. So you really have no idea whether that person is any good. And what they might do, and some people have gone on some courses, they've done their best, they try to get supervision for their work. And I have no doubt that there are some good coaches, but I've also known there to be some really horrendous coaches. And it's because they're working way outside of not only their own comfort zone, but of their personal and professional competence.
Okay.
And
is that part of the problem, Susan, that if you are working outside your competence, it usually means that you don't really understand what your competence is?
No, exactly. They don't know what they don't know. And what they do sometimes is they can open a question or an exploration within that kind of a therapeutic framework might open up a can of worms that they don't know how to put back together again.
So that they may raise issues that are traumatic for somebody, for example, and then leave those person less than well supported. Can I ask you, is there any value in this at all? Because there are lots of people who, I was saying earlier that certain things come in fads, and I'm not saying that ADHD doesn't exist because I have it within my own family, so I'm well aware of it. But you know the way at the moment everyone thinks they have it, in the same way that maybe a year ago everyone had autism and a year before that everyone had narcissism. And these things go in sort of fashions and fads in terms of the online presence or the online discussion around them. Obviously, these things exist in their own right elsewhere, but they become very topical, as I suppose what I'm trying to say. For people who don't need medication and for people who aren't engaging with educational institutes but just want to know more about the condition because they suspect they have it and they're just getting on with things, is there a value in these kinds of forums, these kind of online forums, for those people who maybe just want a little bit more information and it is hard to access that through traditional professional channels?
Yeah. It does provide a platform for communication, for to exchange interests, give information. It does provide that platform, but it's a double-edged sword. And because we are reaching, or they are reaching, a young audience, and with celebrities coming out, et cetera, it sort of drops the stigma. So that's the good side of it. But you're also limited to 1 minute. A 1 minute recording. I'm trying to get everything I want to say in 10 minutes with you. And to do that in 1 minute is very, very difficult. And there's a lot of inaccurate posts. There are some that are frankly completely misleading. So you get, and also there's a drive for entertainment factor. It gives a completely wrong impression of an ADHD person. Posts that are like, say, something like, if you can't focus in exams, you have ADHD. Right, you'll get something like that. And then everyone thinks, oh, I've got ADHD, these youngsters. And in fact, what they're doing is they've got anxiety when they go into an exam.
Their anxiety is clouding their ability to concentrate because they're stressed about their exams. Yeah, look, we could talk about this all day. And I do appreciate you joining us on this morning. That is Dr. Susan Young, clinical psychologist. Love to know what you think out there. I mean, everyone kind of has. If everyone is neurodivergent, are any of us neurodivergent, or is this just a spectrum of normal? I'm not, by the way, dismissing for a moment. As I say, I have ADHD in my own family, so I'm not saying that. But these things do become like fads when you look at things like TikTok, don't they? Let us know what you think about all of that. Nuanced texts, please. We'd love to hear from you this morning. 087 1400 106.
News Talk Breakfast with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.